This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sporting Kansas City Show here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, your home for Sporting Kansas City soccer. Once again, as we are on the doorstep of another exciting Sporting Kansas City MLS campaign. In fact, the home opener, the season opener, is just days away on Sunday, March 4th at 6:30 p.m. Sporting Kansas City will get the 2018 campaign underway against NYCFC. I am Napier Cady. I am your host. Typically, we'll be joined by Carter Augustine. He had some other prior engagements today, but he did go out to sporting training earlier today and taped an interview with Johan Quaze and Tim Melia. So one of the newcomers in the attack and the reigning MLS goalkeeper of the year. So we're going to have those interviews for you coming up on the show in a little bit. As always, Charlie Carlin is running the show for us as our technical director today. And Connell McCourt has signed on to be our producer this year as well. He is in the house as we will Facebook Live the first couple of segments of this Sporting Kansas City show as well. We're going to get you ready for what is a big week for Sporting KC. First and foremost, tomorrow night, the season launch party at Children's Mercy Park. You can RSVP for this thing online at sportingkc.com. The doors open to the Budweiser Members Club at 5 o'clock. There's going to be food and drinks, the new alternate kit, which is the all-black kit, plus the all-black anthem jackets and all sorts of other gear for Sporting Kansas City will be available for purchase. And if you buy something there, you get a $20 gift card for future purchases at the Sporting Style store as well, which is pretty nice. And then at 7 o'clock, the program starts. We're going to hear from President Jake Reed. We are going to hear from Peter Vermees and the captain, Matt Beisler, as well, and just have a whole lot of fun and get ourselves psyched out of our minds for the fact that the season starts on Sunday. Can't wait for that. So we'll see you tomorrow night at Children's Mercy Park. And then, of course, on Sunday, we will see you at Children's Mercy Park again. 6:30 for the kickoff. We will have the game live right here on Sports Radio 810 as well, with the pregame show starting at 6 o'clock. And, of course, the game's on national television on Fox Sports 1 as well. So there it's all laid out for you. We've got a big jam-packed hour for you because we got to get you ready for this big game. A core group of players who have basically been a dynasty here in Kansas City over the past 6 years with four trophies, returning and bolstered by some big acquisitions in the offseason to make the attack stronger this year and give more depth to the team as well. And we're going to talk about all of it. Like I said, we're going to hear from Johan Quaze. We're going to hear from Tim Melia. And right now, live in studio, we're going to hear from one of those core group of players who has been a part of all of this, the dynasty of Sporting Kansas City. Graham Zusi joins us live here in studio. Graham, good evening, man. How are you?
I'm fantastic, especially after that intro. Thank you.
Okay, does it get you excited? That's what I'm going for here. Does it get you a little excited?
No, yeah, I'm super pumped. Couldn't be more excited.
You probably don't need me to get you fired up for Sunday, right?
You help.
Do I?
Yeah,
I'm a carnival barker sometimes. I can do that. Tell me about it. I mean, just tell me what your feelings are as you are just a few days away from kicking this thing off.
Yeah, it's been, gosh, it's felt like it's been forever since we've had a competitive match. We couldn't be more excited to be back on the field and in front of our home fans. You know, we don't too often get a season opener at home, and I think it's a great way to kick off this year.
Yeah, last year we were in Washington, D.C. Yep. It was freezing cold outside. The turf was mostly dirt. And there was weird mud slime all over the walkway out to the pitch and everything. A little different. It's supposed to be 60 degrees, I think, on Sunday.
I actually just checked on the way over here, and it's earlier in the week it wasn't looking so hot, but now it's looking great. Yeah, perfect weather.
It's fantastic. And a big-name opponent, too. I mean, New York City FC, they've got some star power, so that adds a little bit of juice to it, right?
Absolutely, yeah. New York's a fantastic team. they were pretty much step to step with Toronto all year. Toronto obviously pulled away with the Supporters Shield last year, but New York City is a team to reckon with.
So we've got a lot to get to with you here over the next couple of segments, but I kind of laid it out. I think the theme for this team is, and we've seen the advertising campaign. I don't know if you've seen it, Graham, but there's a really handsome radio host who makes a feature appearance in it by the name of Stephen St. John, and then I'm in there too. But the theme there is clearly that, look, you guys have won a lot of trophies, but you guys aren't satisfied. You want more. And obviously there's this weird kind of, look, the team's 7 straight playoff appearances, 4 trophies in 6 years. But there's also this first round exit of the playoff, ever since 2013 that I know I don't have to tell you guys about. Is that something still that's like one of those motivating factors as you guys got started for camp and all that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think even going further than that is not being able to play those playoff games at home.
Yeah,
that's a huge deal for us this year, is to ensure that we're got that home field advantage, at least for that first game, if not throughout the playoffs. Just a massive emphasis on that.
And looking back on last year, I mean, the margin is so slim. You know, one goal in one of those games at the end of the, or at any point in the season, I guess, that could have turned a tie into a win would have put you in that position. So when you try to sit down and assess things, can you put your finger on, okay, if we just do this or that, we'll get to that point? Or is it just a collective, we just got to play better?
You know, that hindsight is always 20/20, and it's easy to look back and say, you know, the last 5 games of the year is where we blew it. Mm-hmm. But you can look at any match throughout the year, an away draw where we could have had the win, a home draw where we should have had the win as well, a loss where we could have scrounged a point. It's you know, the way we go into the season, as far as a mentality is, every single point, every single game matters. And I think we're a team that can go into a match, home or away, and go for the 3 points. You know, we're not going to go into a match saying, okay, you know, it would be great to get a draw today. We're going to go in and be confident, you know, obviously respect the other opponent, but be confident that we can go anywhere and get 3 points.
And that was the difficulty last year, right? Just 2 wins on the road.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The road performance – road results, I should say, we're not up to par. I think you look at the way we played on the road, different than a lot of teams. You know, a lot of teams go into an away situation and park the bus. That's not who we are. That's not the way we play. We like to play our style, regardless of whether we're home or away. And I think we put ourselves in a lot of opportunities to get some really good points on the road this year. For whatever reason, it just didn't happen.
You know, I'm sorry to bring up a bad memory if it is one, but it's one that just is at front of mind right now.
Sure.
Because you mentioned it could have been any result through the course of the season.
Are you bringing up San Jose?
That would have been the goal of the year, man.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like you did anything wrong. I mean, it was just a great save.
No, I couldn't agree more. It's moments like that where it's the difference between 3 or 1 points. It's the margin is so slim, and I think we as a team and obviously individually just need to, I don't know if it's a focus thing or what it is, but it's those moments that are massive.
I mean, that, like I said, that dude, you slalomed through like 3 guys. I mean, it was like the greatest run into the area, and everything was there.
Yeah.
Do you replay that and say, man, I should have just done this, or do you just tip your cap and go, you know what, keeper made a great save, and sometimes, you win some, lose some.
No, that yeah, you dwell on those moments quite a bit, and should I just blast it right at his head and expect it to go in? Do I place it? You know, outside the foot, inside the foot. I mean, you replay those moments over and over. I'm not sure.
What would you do? If you did it again, what would you do?
That's the thing. I'm not sure if I would have done anything different except for maybe put it an inch an inch further to the to my left, his right.
Right, right. I mean, and look, that's one moment. There's the, every guy on the team probably has a moment where he says, "Man, if I had gotten a break here, we got a goal here." That one goal, like I said, makes a difference. Mm-hmm. And that brings up a different point that I wanted to talk to you about, which is your evolution as a player into this right back role that seems to be sweeping the league, if not the world right now. Where it's, by the way, when we were going through our awards last year for Pitch Black, and we had to, Matt Lawrence and I had to give our votes for different guys, I said, Graham Zusi's my offensive player of the year. But you weren't nominated because you technically, you know, I'm using air quotes here, are a defensive player now. Mm-hmm. But I feel like that we need to throw out those labels, you know?
Tell me about it.
Because Jeez. You guys, you do more than that now, right? Like, everybody has different jobs, and you led the team in assists last year. You created more chances than anybody. That's part of your responsibility, right, as the position you play now.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. No, that's, I think that was the idea of bringing me back into that spot, is that Peter expects his outside backs to be playmakers, really, and provide – either that final ball or a run or whatever, you know, that's just who we are as a team. And, you know, I'm not sure he envisioned it to be that much, relying on our outside backs, but no, it's something that, Pete and I talked about towards the end of, what was that, 2016 a bit. Yeah, just a kind of a role I embraced, and I'm having a blast doing it, to be honest. The way we keep the ball and the way we possess it, it allows me to get forward so much, and not much has changed when it comes to my role.
Do you ever get in trouble for bombing forward, or is that just like, hey, just go, man? When we have it, go.
No, I you know, if anything, they want me to do more and more of it. Obviously, you know, you've got that defensive responsibility, but. Listen, we're a team that all 11 players on the field have that responsibility as well.
We're visiting with Graham Zusi as we get ready for this season opener on Sunday at 6:30 against NYCFC. Now, I also mentioned, I think, the theme for this team, that core is still here. You know, the back line is still here. Elie is still here. Tim Melia still here. Roger, you know, those guys, that spine is still intact, but there is this influx of new players. I mean, it was a busy offseason. Quaze, Gutierrez, Russell, Shelton, just to name a few, and then not to mention the teenagers that are on the roster now and those types of things. Tell me what that has done, like, for camp. Does that, when there's like an influx of new players, does it add a little life? Does it add a little excitement for you guys when you're getting ready in preseason?
Yeah, definitely. You know, every year as a team, you want to get better and better. You're going to add new players. You're going to lose players. You know, obviously, initially, people were pretty shocked at some of the players we lost, and I was probably one of those people as well. It's tough to see guys who have been here a while and have been a big part of the team leave, but that's the industry we're in, and the guys that we brought in. Are going to help our team. There's no question about it. They're phenomenal players. Talk about a guy like Johan, just different, just a different kind of player. Has tons of experience all around the world. He's going to be huge for us. Felipe in the middle. He's got something that I haven't seen on this team in a long time. He's incredibly technical. He can provide a ball on an absolute pinpoint. And then Johnny as well. He loves running at people. And whips in an absolute peach of a ball as well. I mean, the guy, the last preseason that we played, four or five just unbelievable balls whipped in on his left foot. So, I think these guys have come in and, credit to them, they've embraced what this team is about so quickly, and it just makes it so much easier for everyone to come together as a team and understand what our goals and our expectations are. they've come in and haven't skipped a beat. So credit to them and credit to our staff for finding those guys.
You were able to articulate what impressed you as a peer about each one of those guys. How quickly do you see that? Do you have to watch them in practice for a while to start to figure out what's this guy all about? How do you figure out what you have on your hands when a new guy comes in?
Yeah, that's the important thing about our preseason and guys coming in on that transfer over from Europe is having that full preseason under their belt. It allows them to obviously see how we play as a team, but it also allows us to see their tendencies as players. Unfortunately, Johnny was a little bit of a latecomer, but I think it took him maybe 2 or 3 days to really just be right there in it as well. So, having that preseason under our belt with those guys here for pretty much the whole time was massive in terms of them knowing us and us knowing them.
It's incredibly exciting. I think the fans are going to be really excited to see these guys out there too. They know what they have in you and Matt and all the other players I just mentioned earlier, but there's this new influx as well, and I think that's one of the reasons that we're so excited for Sunday, just in addition to getting the season started. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and talk a little bit more with Graham, maybe in specific about this upcoming game and just the season that lies ahead for Sporting Kansas City, some of the challenges that we might face, and also just MLS. I mean, it's not just Sporting Kansas City that have brought in a lot of players this offseason. It's been another incredibly exciting and busy offseason for this league as it continues to grow. So we'll talk about that with Graham as well. And don't forget, we're also going to hear from Johan Quaze and Tim Melia coming up on the show. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show, the first one of the 2018 season, back after this. We have one more segment with Graham Zusi as we get ready for Sporting Kansas City and NYCFC, which is a bit of alphabet soup, if you ask me. I mean, New York City FC, something like that. It gets a little difficult sometimes as a broadcaster, but that's my problem and nobody else's. As they will kick off at 6:30 at Children's Mercy Park. By the way, there are still some tickets available. 888-4-KC-GOAL and SportingKC.com. As you heard Graham say, by the way, they're calling for a high of 60 degrees on Sunday. Should be perfect. And Gary Lezak himself told us that this morning as well. Should be a perfect night for soccer on Sunday. And the last game of the MLS weekend as well. So that's kind of a feather in the cap right there, that's the way they want to cap off the opening weekend. All right, Graham, I mentioned that we could maybe preview this game a little bit. Look, the big name, of course, is David Villa. Everybody knows that when you play NYCFC. He's the greatest goal scorer in Spanish history, that's pretty high praise right there. But he's come to MLS and he's continued to produce. He's not one of these guys that came over here to kind of cool his heels, maybe like one of his other teammates who joined the league and didn't quite do as much. And Pirlo, he's been great. So what? Maybe tell me about him. What impresses you and how much of a challenge is it as a backline for you guys to try to contend with a guy of that quality?
He's a guy that absolutely loves scoring goals, and he will not stop until he's done so. He works his tail off, and like you said, is not a guy over here to coast by any means. He wants to score goals, he wants to win games, and that is his world. His movement is something that's pretty special. Puts himself in fantastic spots to score goals, and something we're gonna have to be locked in on and for a full 90 minutes.
And they also are a team that's brought in a couple of guys. They're gonna have some new faces out there, particularly maybe on the wings, and some of them have been late additions as well, so we haven't even really had a chance to see much of them in the preseason. So for you as a player, what's that challenge like when maybe you're especially they're going to have to deal with it with your new guys,
sure,
when you have to play against maybe somebody you haven't seen on tape and haven't played against?
Yeah, we'll this week we'll dive into New York City more and more. We obviously know the guys who have been there. The new faces, I'm sure we'll get our hands on a couple of their preseason tapes possibly, and just see what they're all about. But at the end of the day, we're pretty much worried about ourselves and how we are going to go about this game. We are at home, so we should be able to drive this game as we usually do. And if we're like I said before, if we're locked in for a full 90 minutes, I like our chances of sticking a couple in the back of the net and not allowing them to.
Okay, so I mentioned, look, they brought in a couple of guys that are considered big name additions this offseason. We've already talked about the new players that Sporting has brought in. I mean, across the league, we saw Atlanta United splash $15 million on an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
And just across the board, we've seen teams bring in not just high-priced players, but young high-priced players. As a guy who's been in this league for going on 10 years now, what I guess some people are calling it MLS 4.0 or whatever it is. I've lost track of how many iterations of MLS there's been now, but what do you make of the league now and what you see as you sit back and watch all these off-season moves and teams continuing to fight to get better?
I see it as a becoming a league of choice for like we kind of touched on before, not just guys who are looking to have a vacation, but true young players who are looking to better themselves. You know, what Atlanta did the past couple of years is unreal. It's unbelievable, unprecedented throughout this league. And it's going to start to have to become the norm. You know, these teams going out and finding these quality players, it's something that you'll either be left in the dust or you're going to have to do the same to keep up. So, no, look at it. I see it as just this league growing at a rapid pace. It's either kind of keep up or be left in the dust.
Do you think as an individual player it's forced you? I'm sure you always work your hardest and try to be the best player you can, but has it forced you to improve at a certain rate because the league around you has improved too?
Well, you know, I look at it as a way, you know, we're doing the same thing. We're going out and getting, whether domestic or foreign, we're getting the best players we can. And for me, playing against those guys every day in practice is an opportunity for me to get better. Playing against these guys around the league every weekend, there's a chance for me to get better. So it's you know, like you said, I'm looking to better myself as a player every single chance I get, and it's great for me to be able to do that on a daily basis with the guys on our team, and then likely on the weekend.
This might get a little deep here, but do you think it's making it more difficult for American players to get on the field?
You know, I think somewhat, yes, it is. And you know, you look at this this past off season in particular. I think a lot of it has to do with some of the rules of our CBA. Unfortunately, you look at a lot of these free agents that have been unable to find teams this year. Just the way the rules are, unfortunately, don't allow guys to truly go out there and find their worth on different teams, which is just unfortunate.
The other aspect of that, I guess, I mean, look, there's like the TAM rules.
Sure.
They apply to bringing in foreign players,
right,
who are good players. I'm wondering, look, and you get those CBA things ironed out. I don't know what the future of that holds, but could it in the long run be a good thing if it's, you know, like the rising tide lifts all ships, if
sure,
you know, American-born players in their own domestic league are fighting for spots like that? Or no?
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's definitely a right way to do it. And I think there certainly will, you know, these are the very early stages of this big money starting to be used and I think the league, obviously, every single year they're throwing more of this TAM, this GAM, at each team, because they're trying to keep up as well. You know, teams want to go out there and spend the money on players, whether they're domestic or foreign. In the league right now, you know, they're throwing this gam at these teams, but obviously they want a lot of the control as well. To, you know, they want the league to get better, and a lot of what they think of better is going out and getting foreign. And you just, like you said before, a lot of this TAM money can only be used on foreign players right. being brought in. So that part of it for me is really unfortunate, because it doesn't allow these domestic players who have brought this league along for so long get what they deserve.
Okay, another aspect of the way the league is changing is you're down in training in Tucson with 15-year-old Gianluca Busio and 17-year-old Jalen Lindsay and 19-year-old Felipe Hernandez and Kuzain. You were playing college or high school, you know, ball at that time.
Yeah.
Does that blow your mind, or it's changed to the point now where you're used to it? Like, what?
It makes me want to vomit, man. It is crazy. No, these kids, they're unreal. I mean, it times are definitely different. Yeah, like you said, at 15, I was practicing twice a week with my club team, and that's it. So
that's amazing.
Amazing. It really is. And the talent and potential that these kids have is unreal. I mean, just on our team alone, those five or six kids, I mean, you couldn't tell a difference between guys on the first team and when they came in to play the second half or whatever against these preseason teams. It blew my mind. The potential of those kids is unreal.
See, now I feel like if I were a veteran who'd been in the league for quite a while, and some, you know, snot-nosed 16-year-old came in, and these are my words, not yours, and you know, is all of a sudden out there training, I would almost feel like it was my responsibility to put them in their place, like, you know, it hard on them, or do you have to kind of help them along, or is it an element of both?
It's a little bit of both. We still make them fill up the fridge, and yeah. They have their duties, and make them stand up and sing at dinner time, but
even on the field, you kind of gotta smack them down a little bit, right?
No,
let them know what it means.
And listen, it's you know, I had the privilege of being mentored by some just class guys in Kansas City. So rather than taking it the other direction, I feel like it's kind of my duty to do the same thing that they did for me. So.
You're helping them along.
And
I'm being a little tongue in cheek with that, but I do feel like, hey, if they're on the roster, part of your job is to help them, but also part of it's probably to let them know that, hey, this is the big leagues, you know, and the expectations here are
sure.
different.
And listen, we can only do so much. You know, they still have to have the desire to get better every single day, and that's the potential, I guess, flip side of it is getting too comfortable at a young age, being in the professional setting. You look at the facility we have now, the stadium, their day to day lives. It's pretty nice for a 15-year-old kid. You know?
Sure.
So it's up to them to not let that make them complacent. To come to work every day and really try to get better as a player, that part it's on them.
And I remember, I'm sure you've read it too. Christian Pulisic wrote that bit in the Players Journal, I think it was, mm-hmm. where he talked about where he felt that the biggest window of development in his life was when he was able to go play for Borussia Dortmund as a 16, 17-year-old,
right.
because all of a sudden he was competing against the best 16, 17-year-olds in the world for a place. And you couldn't be complacent because you had to fight for your place and all that. Mm. Obviously, we're not there yet here because the academy system's still a fairly new thing.
Right.
But it seems like that could be the positive of it, right? Like these kids, all of a sudden they got to fight for a spot on the team and everything.
Yeah, of course. There's no question about it. You're 100% correct. They're either gonna have that desire, have that burning in inside of them to take it to the next level and not just be happy with that they got here and signed their first contract. And if they don't, yeah, they'll be left behind. There's no question about it. But this is certainly the right step. They're in a good spot. Luckily, they're in a city and in a club that is going to bring them along very well. So, up to them to take full advantage of it.
I want to ask you in specific about the teenager that plays your position, Jalen Lindsey. We got to see him. You had a little bit of a knock, so he maybe played a little bit more than he normally would have.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't look like a 19-year-old out there to me.
Not at all.
Tell me about him a little bit. Have you gotten to know him and what stands out to you?
Yeah, Jalen, for me, his potential is through the roof. Obviously with his national teams, he's playing a center back role, and he captain, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was best 11 at CONCACAF.
Best 11. Yeah. So, just a guy that you can tell wants to get better every single day. That, in my eyes, Jalen he's got his head on right. He comes and works every single day, and you can see him out there just kind of soaking it in. So for me, I think he's going to be a big time player, whether it's that outside back role or further into his career, switching to that center back role as well.
Who was the pro? You mentioned earlier that you had some great guys that helped you along. Who was the guy maybe that helped you
the
most?
It was a few. You look at Davey Arnault, just an incredible guy.
He's going to get passed this year by Matt Beisler, by the way, for all-time minutes leader, I think. I was reading that the other day. So
it's about that time. Davey, Josh Wolf, Jack Jewsbury, Jimmy Conrad, all those guys were fantastic guys.
Were they more helpful in terms of teaching you how to go about your business on the field or how to just carry yourself day-to-day life, all the above? You know, where do they help you
the most?
I'd
say probably a little bit of both. And you know, I'm a guy who's pretty quiet, I'd say, especially younger in my earlier years. So I would watch a lot, just how people carry themselves, and for me that was enough to see that those guys were just classy guys on and off the field. And listen, they would also take me to the side, and there were times in my early career where I felt that I should be playing more and getting more minutes, and they would pull me to the side. They saw that I was getting frustrated and be like, listen, you know, you're going to get your chance one of these days. It's what you do with that chance that really matters.
Yeah, that's interesting perspective. Now, all these years later, how would you say, have you evolved in terms of just, I look at myself just in the working world and my priorities have changed, you know, and things. Maybe I thought when I was younger that I was working really hard, and I look back on it and I wasn't working as hard as I thought I was, you know. Right. Have you evolved in those habits and those respects as a player?
Absolutely. You kind of have to. One example of that is you never feel like you're going to get too old for this job, but everyone does. I wake up on Sunday or Monday mornings now, and it's different than when I woke up when I was 22 years old. So, I'm not going to lie about that, but, taking care of my body is a full-time job as well. So, there's kind of different points in your career where you have to, change a few things or do something different, and that's kind of one of those things.
You don't strike me as a guy that ever had like a bad diet, but I don't know. No. Ike's told me he changed his diet. Seth changed his diet. Matt told me he's going through that right now because of what you just said about the age thing. Have you had to change your diet at all, or has always been the same?
You know, I've, like you said, I've always been pretty good, but I'd say the past 2 or 3 years, I've taken a real strong interest in what I put in my body. I think it's certainly helped. You know, like you look at last year alone, my ninth year in the league, yet it was probably one of my healthiest years as a player. So, no doubt in my mind that there was a direct correlation between the two.
Matt was telling me he's really gotten into this Tom Brady thing too, of working on making your muscles longer and things like that, changing kind of just his actual workout program. Has that been a part of it too for you or no?
I mean, I wouldn't go into that specific. I haven't taken the TB12 method into my own life, but no, you know, doing a slightly different off-season training. I stretch every single night of the week.
Oh, wow. How much time do you spend stretching every night?
You know, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. And
that doesn't seem like a commitment, but it is. It really is.
Tell you what, until it became a habit, it was kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. So you do that every night and that.
Yeah, for me, I started doing that about a year and a half ago, and I've noticed a huge difference.
I've been telling myself I'm going to do that for the last like year or so, and I do it for a couple days, and then I'm tired. I'm just going to go to bed, and that's where the commitment comes.
Helps
in.
My girlfriend's a yoga teacher too. That's big.
There you go. You doing yoga?
I do a bit, yeah. Okay. More recovery type kind of yoga.
Yeah. That's that. See, you don't need the TB12. You got yoga. That's the whole thing. All right, couple things before I let you go. We really appreciate you being so generous with your time. I mentioned the launch party tomorrow night. You guys are going to be there. The new all black kits are on sale. What do you think?
I think they're ridiculous looking. They're unreal. Sporting KC has always put out just quality jerseys. This one, I'm a huge fan of just a clean jersey, and this one is all that, even though it's black.
Not too much.
No frills.
Yeah.
Just getting the job done. And I've always been a fan of black kits as well. And this one's pretty mean looking.
I think Graham just described himself a little bit as a player. Ooh. I think no frills, just getting the job done, baby. And Charlie gave it 2 thumbs up. You like the kit. Connell likes it as well. Mm-hmm. And finally, what do you think the big key is on Sunday against NYCFC? What can the fans look forward to if they come out?
You know, season openers can be ugly games at times. I think we don't try to do too much in the first game. You know, there's going to be a lot of excitement, a lot of adrenaline going. Play our game, get into halftime, even or ahead, and we'll take it from there.
And take all 3 points, no doubt about it. Hey, Graham, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it. We'll see you tomorrow night at Children's Mercy Park, and best of luck on Sunday.
Thank you so much.
We want you to get home and get that stretching in, training tomorrow. That is one of the best to ever do it here in Kansas City. Graham Zusi, as Sporting get underway on Sunday. When we come back, we're going to hear from Johan Quaze and Tim Melia, the goalkeeper of the year, on the Sporting Kansas City show. All right, great stuff from Graham Zusi. If you missed any of it, and trust me, you're going to want to listen to all of it if you missed any of it, you can go to the Sports Radio 810 WHB Facebook page, where it's archived on Facebook Live. And also, Charlie will be podcasting those segments right after the show. Let's get you a couple of interviews that our sideline reporter, Carter Augustine, was able to conduct out at Sporting Kansas City training today. Let's help you get to know one of the newcomers from France, Johan Quaze. We thought he might play the number 10 role when he came to Sporting, but he's actually spending more time out on the right wing so far, at least. And here was his interview with El Jefe, Carter Augustine.
Okay, I'm here with Johan Quaze. Well, first game week for Sporting Kansas City. First of all, you just got back from Tucson. How was your first preseason with Sporting KC?
It was good. For 4 weeks, really good with the team. So now, some days before the first game, so I think everyone is ready for the game.
How's it been settling into a new team with this Sporting KC and learning this 4-3-3 that Peter Vermees uses?
Yeah, it's good. I think, now I have my place on the team, so we have, small team we like to play, so I think for the first game, we need to put the pressure on the team, and yeah, we just need a victory, and it's the most important for us and for the fans. Yeah,
at home in that first game as well, get to play in at the new stadium that you haven't played at before. Are you looking forward to that?
Yeah, I'm very, very excited. So I know the fans are amazing here. So yes, I'm really, really excited, and I can't wait to play my first game here.
Looks like in these preseason games, Vermees has had you on the right wing for most of the time. What do you think of playing out there?
Yeah, it's not different like in Belgium. In Belgium, I play a lot of the game on the right side. So now I talk all the time with the coach, so he can help me for some details. So yes, I have my time to find some solution in the field, but yeah, I know my quality and I'm ready for the game.
New York City is the first team you play.
Yeah.
They have a coach, Patrick Vieira, of course, famous French player. Does that add a little anything to have a famous player on their sideline as their coach?
No, never. So yeah, I know Patrick Vieira is the coach. He's a big player, whole player, but he's a really, really big player, and everyone loves him in France. So yeah, I'm really also excited to see you and maybe speak with him.
And have you guys got a chance to look at game film from New York City, or are you just kind of focused on what you are doing in your own formation?
No, I'm just focused on my game, on our team, and yeah. I repeat, so we need just the victory for this game.
Thanks, Johan.
Okay, thank you.
There's Johan Quaze. Talked about playing on the right with his last club and going up against a French legend in Patrick Vieira, who's in his third year as the head coach of NYCFC. New York City coming off of back-to-back second-place finishes in the East, finishing behind Toronto FC. And they want to take a big step forward this year. So this is going to be an ambitious New York City club that I think is coming here to try to win. We heard from Graham Zusi earlier that a lot of road teams in MLS go on the road looking for a point. And I personally think that's one of the reasons you see such dismal away records from most of the teams in the league. We'll wait and see, but I don't think that's going to be the case. If New York City FC want to keep pace with Toronto, and if Toronto play like they did last year, NYCFC have to go try to win games, home or road. And they won 6 games on the road last year in New York City, which was second most in the league to Toronto. So they're in a good away side, which I think is going to make for a very even and up and down game on Sunday. Now, the reigning goalkeeper of the year, Tim Melia, what could he possibly do to improve upon the phenomenal year he had last year? Here's Carter Augustine with Tim Melia.
Okay, I'm here with the reigning goalkeeper of the year, Tim Melia. Tim, just got back from preseason. How did it all go? Just second phase down there in Tucson.
I think it was pretty successful. I think this is a year that me personally, we should all be really excited about. A lot of new talent, a lot of new names. A lot of new threats. I think that's going to be our biggest thing this year, is just kind of getting everybody acclimated on the same page, getting people into our system, letting them know how to go forward, but also defend as a group. But just the biggest thing I took away from this preseason is it should be a very exciting year.
It seems like there's a lot more depth in the squad, maybe some more competition for places as well. Does that kind of feel like that within the team as well?
Of course. I mean, I think every position, you know, it's one or two deep, which is really important, especially going into the hotter months and how long MLS season is, Open Cup. I know we're not in CONCACAF this year, but next year it'll be something that's really important.
So you talk about biggest thing with these new guys, getting them integrated into the system. Will it take some time for some of these new players getting into the league?
I hope not. It kind of is the way it goes a little bit, especially when you're bringing in foreign players. It does take a little bit of time for them just to adapt to the culture of the United States, the culture that, you know, is present at this club, and then just them getting familiar with the MLS style of play. It is very different than other leagues. It's, you know, maybe a little bit more physical at other times, and then there's times where it does slow down and it does have to be technical. So I just think that whenever new guys come in, foreign base, college, even guys coming from lower division, there's always that time period where you just needs to be a little bit of a grace period. But hopefully we try to prepare the best we can during preseason. Peter and the rest of the staff does a really good job from phase one that we're going to be organized first, and then the rest of the pieces are going to fall into place. So I think we had a good preseason. I'm really excited about the guys they added, and I'm just looking forward to getting out there against New York.
And you got to train here at the new facility at Pinnacle. When you guys were in town, there was snow on the ground, right? So this is the first actual training on the pitch?
This is our first go outside on the grass. I mean, this whole place is just different level. I mean, you almost expect it, though, with this ownership group. I mean, when they do something, they do it right, and they're going to make sure that the players have every benefit that they can think of to provide trophies, which is what we're shooting for every year.
And then, like you just mentioned it, but first test, NYCFC. They like to keep the ball, or so they have in the past. Are you expecting them to try and do that when they come here in the first game at Children's Mercy Park?
Absolutely. They're going to high press their team that, like you said, they want to have, they want to dictate the possession. It's something that we try to do every home game. It's a team that plays a little bit differently than other MLS teams. They, you know, by all means, they're coming out of the back with the ball and they want to be on the ball. And on the vice versa side, you know, they're going to be pressing to us when we're trying to keep the ball. So it's going to be a really exciting game. They obviously have the star power in Villa and a couple other players, but they're going to be a new look team as well. They've added some pieces. But first and foremost, we have to remind ourselves that we are at home. We have to drive the game, and we have to, you know, bring it for the first game.
Well, Tim Mealy has got me even more excited for this game. As I mentioned, I mean, you got two teams going toe-to-toe on Sunday who like to press the action. But you also have two teams that want to play out of the back even when the other team is pressing. In fact, they almost like it when the other team presses because they feel like that gives them an opportunity to open things up. This thing could be completely end-to-end. Now, can they keep that up for 90 minutes on each side? We will see. But I think you're going to see two teams throwing punches early in this game. And Tim Mealy is probably even more excited than me to get out there considering the way the season ended for him last year, missing the last three games of the regular season and the playoff game as well. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, we'll see you tomorrow night at Children's Mercy Park. Doors open at 5 o'clock. The program starts at 7 for the launch party. And then on Sunday, 6:30 for kickoff, 6 o'clock pregame right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Connell McCourt, fantastic job putting things together for us today. Thank you very much. And Charlie Carlin running the show. We are off and running, and we'll see you next week on the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for Sporting Kansas City Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB.